Meeting to order. It's 9 o'clock. We're not late. I'm Roberta Spoon. I'm the Vice Chair of the Housing Commission. Commissioner Chair Gramling is absent today. He had a family emergency and was called out of town quickly, so he's asked me to chair the meeting this morning. And so I would like to call the meeting to order, and I have some things that they gave me to read, so I will. Members of the public who wish to address the Housing Commission must complete a speaker request form. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes each. Collective testimony by those who support or oppose an item shall be limited to no more than 15 minutes per side. Non-agenda public comments are heard at the beginning of each meeting. Those who wish to address the board about a topic that is not on the agenda will fill out a white speaker request form. Angie has those forms over in the corner. Members of the public may also request to have an item pulled from the consent agenda by submitting a speaker request form prior to the start of our meeting. To speak on a matter on the agenda, members of the public must complete a speaker request form and submit it to the recording secretary before the item is called. And those who wish to speak in opposition to the item must complete the pink form. Those in favor of the item complete the gold form. If there are any members of the public that would like to speak, now's the time to run over to the corner and get your form. All right, moving on. We have Commissioner Surdy is not here. She's visiting family in New York, and Chair Gramling is not here, but all of the rest of us are present. Do we have any commissioner comments today? All right, moving on. Report by our president.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have about a half a dozen brief items just to update the board on, although you may already know about most, if not all, of these. The first is that the affordable housing capacity measure, complying with Article 34 of the state constitution, the city council earlier this week decided to place on the ballot in November. As you may well remember, what this Article 34 requires is taxpayer approval of the maximum capacity that the Housing Commission can employ in producing a certain types of affordable housing. It does not apply to things like vouchers, but it does apply to the development of hard units, whether owned and operated by the Housing Commission or its affiliate, or owned and operated by third parties where we issue bonds or provide investments. The current ceiling capacity for the Housing Commission is 10,500 units, which was last expanded in 2003, I believe, and we have not expanded since then. We believe that before the next national election in 2020, we will likely be at or exceeding that ceiling, so we're going to exceed, we're going to be asking for voter approval to extend the number up to 38,680. Now that is well more than this board authorized us to do, and we initially recommended, if you may remember, an additional 10,000 units, taking us from 10,005 to 20,005. However, when we got before the applicable city council committee, Council President Leitner recommended to the council that we go to the larger number because that is a number reflected in Sandag's research that is the need for the area by about 2020. It is a tall number, but it's a worthy goal, and that's what the council wished to put before the voters. I will point out for the record that this does not necessarily imply any additional public spending or subsidy or funding or any monetary amounts or any specific project approvals. It is merely a capacity ceiling for us to move to. And, Madam Chair, with that, what I might do is see if any of the board members have any questions on that, since it does, it is a number bigger than you all had approved before. Okay. Second, piece of information is that in May, you all approved some changes, ministerial changes to dollar approval limits that the housing authority should make in recommending to the, back to the more capacity for the housing commission board, in making approvals. That matter was heard by the Smart Growth and Land Use Committee 2 days ago and was passed on without, approval or disapproval to the larger city council. And there were questions about some of the dollar limits, but also some very positive, laudatory comments about this board, this commission, and the way we're functioning right now. Also, I'll point out that, as you may well remember, the city audit committee, by recommendations of two council members, Sherman and Kate, asked the city auditor to do an audit of the way that the housing commission and the city produce affordable housing. That audit report was issued in draft form earlier this month. We appeared along with the city's development services division before the audit committee also 2 days ago, and to receive the findings and recommendations. And there were a number of comments that went back toward the Development Services Division about improving and changing the way they administer the program. The only negative or item of instruction that came to us relative to our housing programs was that we in the city could do a better job coordinating the effect of it and establishing the numbers, which we heartily agreed to. So there were no real corrective comments of any kind that came back toward this agency. And we'd be glad to get you that audit report if you'd like to see it. In fact, Debbie, I think it'd be a good idea to get it to them anyhow. Yes, it's Debbie Ruane.
Good morning, Commissioners. Of note, that was Part A of the audit, and it was specifically addressing the Affordable Housing Fund and the linkage and inclusionary fees. So we're happy to work with the city closer to improve our processes there. I'll share the report with you happily as well, and I'm meeting next week with the auditors to continue on the audit for the housing.
You might briefly describe what Part B will cover.
Part B is going to cover everything else in real estate. So they are looking at, as you remember, Councilmember Sherman has been a driver, as is this board, of why is it so expensive. And they are looking for ways where we can get more money, spend less money. And so they're looking at our loan portfolio. They're looking at our bond programs. They're looking at our loans. And they've had some very helpful comments, and it's been a huge learning curve for them too, as you can imagine. They're looking at 8 different mini departments within the real estate division and trying to understand our crazy financing world and how and why we do what we do. So I haven't seen a preview of what Part B looks like yet, but again, I'll see you next Thursday.
And I will be shocked if there are major prescriptive changes that come out of it. I think it's probably very good timing. You all, I'm sorry I wasn't here to see the report last month, but I understand the report on our new asset management system just knocked it out of the park. But I think it's good timing that we've got that ready in time for this review. We get some recommendations on how to do things better. Of course, we'll do it, and gladly so. But I'll be shocked if there are major issues that come up. So at least Part A of the audit of our programs came out very well. We'll get you copies of that report. Any questions on that at all? Some good announcements. Last week, the mayor, Councilmember Gloria, and I hosted a press conference over at the site of the military stand down, which VVSD, Veterans Villages of San Diego, does every year. We gave a preliminary report on our 1,000 Homeless Veterans Initiative. If you recall, beginning March the 1st, we staked out that we were going to get 1,000 vets who are homeless off the streets in 12 months' time. I'll point out that in our gross programs up to that point, the previous 5 years, we had gotten some 992 off the street already. So we were looking to do 5 years worth of work in 1 year, which we think is doable. So through July 20th, we have 209 homeless veterans additionally off the street, over another 100 with approved vouchers looking for housing. In addition, and this is particularly pleasing to us, we have had 130 landlords answer the call to provide rental housing for homeless veterans through the Housing Your Heroes program, which was the outreach effort that Mayor Faulkner initiated back in March. And these landlords have listed some 333 rental housing units with us for this initiative. So when I see a couple of staff members back there nodding their heads, we are processing and getting folks housed as quickly as we can make the process work. We announced, the mayor, Todd Gloria and I, as well as a couple of other locals, announced this last week. And I feel very good that that process is underway and is essentially on schedule. They've committed 333 units.
And that's in addition to those that are already housed?
It includes, yes ma'am, it's in addition to those, yes. So we've had, I had assumed 6 months ago that the challenge would be getting private sector landlord involvement in this program. And I think that using the bully pulpit of the mayor has obviated that. Now the challenge is just one of administrative process and clearance. We're not just taking people off the street and putting them in a house. What we're doing is working through requests for proposals to service providers who will provide services for these folks so that, as we promise the landlords, the people will not be abandoned with perhaps behavioral issues with the landlords to deal with it. So it really is a partnership between government and private sector, helping people live in the private sector but with services to keep them from exacerbating their problems and perhaps winding up back on the street. And it's so far working very well. We've got, we're about 4.5 into this week, 5 months into the program. We think we're essentially on target. We figured this will be more of a parabolic, set of accomplishments rather than a straight line curve, a straight line on a graph. But I feel very good about it. I'll also remind the board that this is a 2-year program. We were hoping to get all 1,000 under lease in 1 year, then a year to stabilize, using 400 vouchers and 600 rapid rehousing units, or I may have that reversed. It's 1,000 altogether. And we feel certain that we're going to be able to make it work in the 2-year time period, and we still think the 1 year will work as well. We also have celebrated two accomplishments in the past month. On July the 13th, I participated along with Tony Atkins, State Assembly member, and also Councilman Todd Gloria in the groundbreaking ceremony for North Park Senior Apartments. As you all remember, this is the programs for LGBT seniors that will be focused in this particular property. This property was supported by a $7 million loan by this commission, as well as the issuance of $15 million in multifamily housing revenue bonds. This is going to be in a great location of just off of, on Texas, just off of El Cajon, and we think it's going to be a showcase property to be completed in about a year and a half to 2 years. Also, last month on July the 14th, Debbie Ruain participated in the topping out ceremony for Atmosphere Apartments here downtown. And this is a property that will include 202 affordable housing rental units, including 51 units of supportive housing for the homeless, which is being developed by Wakeland, a nonprofit here in town. Topping out, as you know, means that the structure, the final floor of the structure has been completed. We're looking for a completion of this property in the spring of 2017. Also, I'll close out my report, Madam Chair, with a notice that at the NARO, the National Association of Housing and Redevelopment Officials, summer conference in Portland, Oregon, last week, NARO awarded two awards of merit to the San Diego Housing Commission for two of our programs. One is our Housing First San Diego plan, the Housing Commission's three-year homelessness action plan that we first adopted in November of 2014 and amended twice since then in December of 15, and then with the Housing Your Heroes program in January of this year. And the award of merit was for the development, the implementation, and the communications of that particular homelessness action plan, Housing First San Diego. We also received a second NARO award of merit for our Achievement Academy's resident and client services program, which is called Jumpstart Your Career. So I feel very good that we're being recognized by our peers and that the work we're doing here is proceeding apace. And, Madam Chair, that concludes my report.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda, I would like to propose that we move items 100, 101, 102, and 103 to the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second? Second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Motion passed. Now we have approval of the minutes. Has everyone had the opportunity to read last month's minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve? Okay. Commissioner Davis, Commissioner Moraga seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passed. All right. Ready for staff report 104. Did I skip something? No, we moved 103 to the consent. See what happens when Gary's not here?
58 minutes is just right.
You know, pushy women.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Ted Miyahara, Director of Housing Finance. With me is Cameron Shariati, Real Estate Manager. The item before you is a loan recommendation for the Nook. This is an innovative project that staff is excited about. As you know, San Diego is experiencing a housing crisis. Many residents lack housing options that fit their budget. City Council has declared a state of emergency due to severe shortage of affordable housing every year since 2001. In November of 2015, the Housing Commission published Addressing the Affordability Crisis in San Diego and Beyond. The report provided framework to address housing affordability crisis. The report included 11 action steps to address housing affordability and production-related issues. The overarching goals were to increase production and reduce cost of building housing. The report identifies opportunities and outlines actions necessary to accomplish our goals. First and foremost, it's about leadership, followed by innovation, unlocking land, lobbying for streamlined local, state, and federal regulation, and increasing financing options for developers. Our president and CEO has led the charge, and today's funding recommendation is an outcome of the Housing Commission's Affordable Crisis Report. The Nook is an innovative project. This development is cutting edge for San Diego, and staff believes that this project will be a catalyst for future mixed-income infill development with creative deal structures. A little background before Cameron gets into the details. This project was originally entitled as a hotel, but the surrounding market has not materialized enough for the owner to move forward with their plans. The developer, Trestle, has redesigned the project as a residential SRO. It's, however, closer to a studio or a micro-unit type project. Mm-hmm. It's fully entitled. Civic actually improved entitlements this week. 10% of the units would be restricted to 65% of the area median income to comply with the inclusionary housing ordinance, and the remaining units would be restricted to 80% of the area median income, so the developer would qualify for the welfare exemption. The Housing Commission is proposing to provide $750,000 in capital financing for 91 units. From staff's perspective, this is great value when you break it down on a per-unit basis. And the VA will be providing 8 project-based vouchers to serve the homeless. Again, this is a unique opportunity for the Housing Commission to participate as lender. I believe that this deal structure will spark interest from the development community and result in others thinking about other opportunities that might be out there.
Good morning, Commissioners. Cameron Chariotti, Real Estate Department. Item 104 is a request that the Housing Commission make a recommendation to the Housing Authority of the City of San Diego to take the following actions. Approve a residual receipts loan in an amount not to exceed $750,000 to a to-be-formed limited partnership comprised of Trestle Development as general partner and Glamour Investments as equity investor, limited partner for the development of the Nook, contingent upon receiving all necessary third-party funding commitments. In addition, to authorize the Housing Commission CEO to execute all necessary documents and instruments and to take actions as necessary or appropriate to implement upon advice of general counsel and to adjust financing terms and conditions as necessary and to substitute approved funding sources with any other funds as deemed appropriate based on budget availability. The Nook is a proposed 91-unit new construction affordable housing development to be located at 1492 K Street in the East Village neighborhood of downtown. That's on the corner of 15th Street and K Street. Here in this slide, you can see a street view of the proposed project site. There is currently a vacant SRO hotel, formerly the Bell Hotel, which was damaged in a fire. The proposed project is a four-story tall type 4 construction building over one floor of concrete type 1 podium style parking to be located on a 7,700 square foot lot. All 91 units will be SRO units averaging 250 square feet. The development will include 7 vehicle parking spaces and 54 bike spaces. Other amenities on site will include a community room and a gym. Here in this slide, you can see a rendering of the proposed development. It's again another rendering in this slide. The Nook will be developed by a to-be-formed limited partnership comprised of Trestle as the administrative general partner and National Housing Corporation as managing general partner. The project's development team will be led by David Allen of Trestle Development. Since Trestle was founded in 2013, the company has acquired 4 low-income housing tax credit finance projects totaling 166 units and is nearing completion of a 71-unit ground-up micro-apartment development in Oakland. NHC is a 501c3 that provides supportive services for low-income housing properties. NHC's mission is to improve the quality of life of their residents through coordinating community enrichment programs. Anticipated services that will be available to residents at the Nook will include yoga and fitness classes, as well as gardening education at Smart Farms in East Village, and among various other arts, education, and career advancement programs. The total development cost of this project is approximately $13.7 million. The proposed sources of financing will include a $750,000 Housing Commission loan, which will be amortized over a 30-year period, a conventional loan, and equity provided by Glamour Investments. The development cost equates to approximately $150,000 per unit or $251 per square foot of gross building area. The Housing Commission engaged the Gordian Group to evaluate the proposal and provide construction hard cost estimates, and this report provided by the consultant validated the developer's cost estimates for the project. As mentioned before, the Nook would provide 10% of the units at or below 65% of area median income for 55 years, and the remaining 90% of the units at or below 80% of area median income for 30 years. 8 units will be targeted to homeless veterans, and the Housing Commission has awarded the developer with 8 HUD VASH vouchers to supplement tenant rental payments and subsidize the provision of services for this population. A portion of the just to add, this project was recently approved unanimously at the Downtown Community Planning Council last week on July 20th. There was no, it was approved unanimously. And this concludes staff's presentation, and we have David Allen from Trestle Development here to answer any questions as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, commissioners?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Appreciate the presentation. It's an exciting project. These are 250 square foot units? Approximately. I noticed the dollars per square foot are, it's an improvement over the, in the comparison that you've provided in the staff report. My question is this. You identify the funding source for this loan, and yet it's in the staff report, and you also mention it in your report that staff reserves the right to substitute funding sources for this on how to fund that loan. Explain that to me.
So there's a number of sources that we could fund this deal with. It could be the Housing Trust Fund, Inclusionary, Home Funds. So we like to leave our options open in terms of what financing is available at that time. For instance, there's expenditure and commitment deadlines with the home funds. So if we need to commit those dollars to avoid them being recaptured, we'd like to reserve that right.
Okay, thanks.
Is Mr. Allen here?
Good morning, commissioners. Nice to be back.
Is there anything you'd like to say? I have a question for you. Will this be a prevailing wage job?
This particular job will not be prevailing wage. The amount of the subsidy and the source of the subsidy didn't dictate that it will be.
So when you say that we have options about the sources of our funding, will any of that throw it into a prevailing wage? Why is it that your development fee is 3%? We have heard others here, you know, over the past few months where the development fee is much.
Sorry. What we've done in this project is try to create a project that blends a lot of affordable housing concepts with more of a market rate concept. So in this particular deal, there is some opportunity in the future to have some benefit, some net residual value, where in a project that is restricted at 30s and 50%, a lot of times that there's very little residual value for developers to see any profit potential. So in this particular deal, it seemed appropriate to lower that upfront cost because we expect to see some of our profit potential to come through both cash flow and residual value at some point in the future. So that seemed like 3% fee is actually more in line with what market rate developers would charge on a development fee basis for a project like this.
Could you have asked for more? Is there any requirement?
No, there's no requirement. We could have asked for more. But we did not. We thought it was fair.
Perfect. We have Commissioners Moraga and Erdison have both first and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion approved. Now we're moving on to the strategic plan workshop. Thank you, Mr. Allen.
Yeah.
Good morning, Commissioners. Jeff Davis, Executive Vice President, Chief of Staff. With me is Abby Ruane, Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer. We are here to present the final update on the 2014 to 2016 Strategic Plan. I'd like to note that this presentation has been reviewed and approved by Commissioner Ben Moraga, the Chair of the Strategic Plan Subcommittee. Slide two. All right, by way of reminder, under your guidance, we established three major strategic goals for our 2014 through 2016 plan. Goal A was to create and preserve quality affordable housing. Goal B was to provide housing choice voucher families with opportunities for them to become more financially self-reliant. And goal C was to foster a culture of excellence and innovation. We're proud to say that during the last 2 years, we have 148 separate achievements in this strategic plan. I'm sure you'll be happy to know that we do not intend to review all 148 achievements this morning, but rather we're going to, during the course of this presentation, provide the board with the most significant highlights of our accomplishments in the key areas that impact our families. We'll start with our efforts on ending homelessness in our city. On November 12, 2014, we announced Housing First San Diego, the San Diego Housing Commission's three-year homelessness action plan to create additional affordable housing with supportive services and that would impact the lives of as many as 1,500 homeless San Diegans. Our Housing First San Diego initiative has been a great achievement of the Housing Commission. In the first year, we have committed for this effort. You'll recall that we committed to having $30 million in development funds set aside. As of 6/30/2016, $13 million of that has already been awarded, with another $4.6 million currently under review. We committed to 1,500 vouchers, and thus far 887 of them have been awarded and utilized. We committed to rehabilitate the Hotel Churchill and purpose it for chronically homeless individuals. As you know, that rehabilitation is scheduled to be completed in a matter of weeks, and we anticipate beginning to lease up families, largely homeless veterans, starting in August 2016. And the project is on budget. We committed to invest moving to work dollars for the acquisition of a project that would include homeless housing. Last year, we invested $15 million of the MTW funds to acquire Belden North Senior Complex, which is a 120-unit affordable housing development, where we have 24 of those units set aside for permanent supportive housing for the homeless. And lastly, we committed to 25 of our own units for homeless persons to provide a stabilization opportunity for families that could lead to a long-term self-sufficiency. Thus far in this program, we've served 135 formerly homeless persons, and that includes 87 children. Since program inception, 13 of our families have graduated from this program. More achievements in the area of homelessness. Year two of our Housing First San Diego, we created the Guardian Scholars Program. And this is a groundbreaking program serving up to 100 at-risk of homeless SDSU students. Partnering with SDSU, we are able to provide housing subsidies for youth aging out of foster care who often have no support systems to lean upon. The Housing Commission subsidy makes it possible for them to have a stable home while they attend college. Also, the Monarch School Initiative was created. In this program, we are serving 25 formerly homeless families with young children who are students at the Monarch School for Children Impacted by Homelessness. These families receive rental subsidy and self-sufficiency skills building support that enable the children to attend school knowing they have a home of their own, as well as helping their parents build the skills they need to become more self-reliant. In year two, we also continue to make available funds and vouchers for the development of permanent supportive housing. And lastly, of course, we have our 1,000 Veterans Initiative, which includes the Housing Our Heroes Landlord Outreach Program. Our final slide highlighting the accomplishments related to homelessness include the year-round permanent shelter. San Diego City Council unanimously approved the Housing Commission's recommendation for a year-round interim housing in a permanent facility for homeless San Diegans to permanently replace the temporary tents the city had been using for the previous 30 years. As you know, that year-round interim housing began in full operation with 350 beds on July 1st, 2015. We have done much in these years to define SDHC's role in reducing homelessness in our community and become recognized as an essential partner in this effort. Just for example, Mr. Gentry was elected to serve on the RCCC Governance Board, the Regional Continuum of Care, of course, and I was selected to serve on the Leadership Committee of the 25 Cities Initiative. And lastly, we created a homeless program rating and ranking tool. As we continue to strategically plan for how our resources can best be used to find solutions to address homelessness, we include the development of a mechanism to objectively evaluate the return on investment that we receive.
Good morning. As we continue on with the impacts we've made on the policy guidelines, we have expanded our impact to guide our business operations and have accomplished the following. We've created an internal policy committee that reviews regulatory and legislative bills, ordinances, and amendments. Our federal achievements include our successful negotiation of the Moving to Work contract with HUD, which provides the Housing Commission with an additional 10 years of MTW flexibilities, ensuring our innovative approaches can continue. This is absolutely monumental, and we thank Mr. Gentry for all of his work in Washington to make that happen. At the city level, we've presented City Council with our proposal for changes to the single room occupancy ordinance, ongoing work on Article 34, as mentioned earlier by our president, updated the city's density bonus program, and created the very effective Coalition for Housing and Jobs to help us garner local support across business lines. At the state level, we've worked with the state treasurer's office through the CIDLAC, the California Debt Limit Allocation Committee, and the Tax Credit Allocation Committee's office, and completed and released the Housing Affordability Cost Construction Report. You may recall we identified 11 actionable items that we were going to approach. 8 of them were city-focused, 2 were state, and 1 was federal. Movement is moving on all of these 11, and we are also extremely proud and honored by a visit we had just a week and a half ago by the McKinsey Global Economic Think Tank. They came to meet with us and recognized our report and said, we want to take your report, which identifies issues in the city of San Diego, and apply it across the state. So we are honored and excited about working in a broader context on the issues that affect our ability to create housing.
Next, we're going to cover some achievements in the area of assisting Housing Commission families gaining self-sufficiency skills and the opportunity to improve their circumstances. We created 3 separate curriculums in the Achievement Academy designed to assist those just beginning their experience with employment. These 3 curriculums were hospitality, caregiver, and security guard trainings. Since implementation, 27 participants have been hired in these fields as a direct result, and they have an average wage of $10.84. Additionally, we now offer a week-long workshop in the Academy to prepare participants who are entering the workforce for the first time or after a great deal of time. And the training course includes resume writing, interview skills, and computer skills. And this program just started in July, and we currently have 47 participants enrolled. We implemented a Jump Start Your Career program, as Mr. Gentry mentioned. This targets young adults. We have 168 young adult participants. 51 have been placed in new jobs with an average starting wage of just under $10. Placements include paid internships with companies such as Qualcomm, SeaWorld, FarmWorks, and the American Red Cross. We have created a literacy program in partnership with the San Diego Library and have received from the library 500 free books donated from them. And just incidentally, we also had an employee book drive here just a few weeks back. I want to say our goal was 250 books, and I meant to get the update, but I know that we went over 1,000. So 1,000 books are now in the academy from our staff. We are also partnering with the Junior Achievement Academy of San Diego, and shortly we'll be offering an opportunity for our families to attend a weekend financial literacy training that they offer there. And I'm very excited to announce that the Housing Commission recently was awarded a 3-year, $780,000 grant from W.K. Kellogg Foundation to fund 2Gen San Diego, a multi-generational pilot program that we'll be doing in City Heights and serving 60 families there. This is very exciting for us. We have never received a grant from Kellogg, nor have any other housing authority. This really puts us on the radar for a lot of other philanthropic organizations, so we're very excited about this. The program, using housing as a platform, will provide services focused on key areas of financial stability, health and wellness, education and employment, and social capitals to ensure that the children ages 0 to 8 and their parents have the resources to disrupt that intergenerational cycle of poverty. To promote our staff's ability to most effectively assist our families to obtain the supports they need, rental assistants and workforce and economic development staff have been working much more closely as they integrate and collaborate to become one department who seek to assist families holistically. One of the ways we did this was through a cross-training curriculum that educates both department staff about each other's programs and the opportunities that exist for our families. One exciting partnership that we have recently developed is with SANDAG, and this is to increase opportunities for our clients with employers located along major transit lines. SANDAG has recently provided us with information on employers by zip code within 30 minutes of transit lines, and we'll be reaching out to these employers on behalf of our clients very soon.
To increase our impact on preserving our housing, we've created a capital plan using the data from the Green Physical Needs Assessment that we completed, and we will identify the rehabilitation needs of our own portfolio and address them through this process. We also implemented an enhanced property inspection protocol in our property management department. This resulted in increased REAC, or real estate assessment scores. They were all 91 or above this year. This is a tremendous achievement because the inspections happen very quickly, and we have to keep our properties in excellent condition. So this is a huge achievement for the maintenance technicians and the property management group. Through compliance with our Section 3 program, 22 Section 3 residents have been hired as Housing Commission employees, and 121 have been hired on Housing Commission construction contracts in fiscal year 14 and 15. And we've begun the process of optimizing our real estate portfolio, including special attention to our smaller properties.
Thank you. Now we'll cover some highlights on the impacts we've made in the area of customer service. Nearly 2 years ago, we conducted the first ever employee engagement survey. The results of the survey were benchmarked against 173 other companies and organizations. As a result of the findings, we created 5 employee focus groups to tackle the areas identified where we could make the most significant positive impact. These areas were performance management, communication, rewards and recognition, career development, and wellness. After 18 months of this effort, a second survey was conducted, and we were very happy to see that a significant increase in engagement had been achieved. The overall score was an increase in engagement of 18%. We saw positive growth in 16 of the 17 categories measured, the 17th seeing no change. There has been a real focused effort to reach out to and engage staff in the various activities and initiatives at the agency to ensure that we obtain not only their buy-in, but also their feedback and make sure that we are able to really show that they are the most valuable resource that we have. Also, a classification and compensation study was conducted last year to evaluate the position titles, and salary ranges for all positions at the commission. And with your approval, the final outcome was incorporated, resulting in a more competitively compensated workforce. Numerous customer service surveys have been completed in these last 2 years, both internally and externally. A couple of the highlights, we had a rental assistant department survey conducted of our rental assistants' families and our property owners to determine their experience with customer satisfaction. And we received 80% rated our overall quality of customer service as either good, very good, or excellent. We also conducted a survey for our Section 3 efforts. And overall, the results of the survey were very positive. 56% rated the overall quality of customer service as very good or excellent, roughly 80% rating it good or better.
In order to assist the agency in accomplishing our leadership through technology goals, our IT department completed several projects to enhance our infrastructure and technology platform, including moving our email to the cloud, which allows anywhere, anytime access for staff and a best practice retention policy to ensure we're continually in compliance. We retired two software programs, ECS and PeopleSoft, replacing them with new systems, which will save the agency approximately $42,000 a year in maintenance fees. We're redesigning our disaster recovery, redundancy servers, and the Housing Commission's networks in phases to enhance security and so that we're able to get up and running as quickly as possible should we have an event of disaster. And we've enhanced portals and modules throughout the agency. Regarding our partnerships, we created the San Diego Housing Commission Foundation Fund to allow the Housing Commission to accept private donations to help fund our programs. This is an exciting milestone, as donations have few restrictions on the use of the funds and the potential to greatly enhance the services we provide to our families. In grant development, we have a plan that will include funding goals. In fiscal year 16 alone, this group successfully acquired $1.8 million. Jeff earlier referred to the Kellogg grant of $780,000, but they also received $246,000 for a Ross grant, $367,000 for VASH, and $419,000 from the Home Depot. We've purchased and implemented the eCivis grants application to identify and apply for grants, and this is being done in conjunction with the city. And the Reinvestment Task Force has updated their database and revamped the program to broaden our connection to the financial institutions and leverage their resources. We've also partnered with Civic San Diego to create the Transit-Oriented Development Fund. And lastly, at the request of the county, we administered their County of San Diego Homebuyer Program funds and assisted 90 households.
So we thank the board for your support through these past 2 years, helping us to achieve some very important things for our community. With the end of this plan just a few days away, we are deep into the process of submitting a new plan to you for approval. We have gathered with the Strategic Plan Board Subcommittee in March, June, and this morning to receive direction on what accomplishments the board wants to see in the next strategic plan period. It was crucial to the board as well as to management that we make the strategic process inclusive to ensure we gain staff's input and involvement all along the way. The draft objectives and metrics are being developed during 8 working sessions with a combined group of about 35 staff from various levels of the agency. We've also developed a survey that went out to the entire agency. And finally, on June 30th, we held an all-employee event where we worked together as an agency to discuss what makes SDHC best in class and how we can enhance this designation in the future. The culmination of all this effort will come before you in September as our 2016 to 2020 strategic plan. We sincerely thank the board for your guidance and for your support and for allowing us to share our achievements with you this morning.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Pretty impressive results. I want to congratulate you all. I'm especially impressed, as you are, I think, that the fact that McKinsey would come in here and view a report of ours and want to take it statewide, that says a lot. That really does, and I applaud you for that. Congratulations on the Kellogg grant. I'm real excited on the things that you've done as far as setting up the foundation to be able to take private donations and your coordination on the grant funding program with the City of San Diego. The last thing I was just going to say was that there's a fine line between self-promotion and having folks understand what this agency is doing. And I just think it's critically important that that these results be shared with the Housing Authority. I think the community at large needs to be able to appreciate also what this agency is doing, especially on the homeless front. As that problem, that societal problem continues to get worse, I want people to understand what this agency is doing on that front. And that's a lot. So, we ought to find ways to be able to promote that publicly.
Yes, I'd just like to say a formal comment of wow. You know, I've only been a commissioner, I think, about 2.5 years. Every day, every conference, every meeting, I am just thrilled and so proud to be a small part of this organization. The more I learn about it and what the San Diego Housing Commission, what all they do and what all they accomplish is amazing to me. And I want to thank you very much.
I would like to second all of that. It's just very impressive what has been accomplished over the period of time. The report is just outstanding. And I agree with everyone that you need to present that or some form of that at the Housing Authority. I mean, it is to see it in this capsule form is just overwhelming, the achievements that you've accomplished over this very short period of time, really. And the creativity that went behind some of that is just awesome. I'm very impressed with all of it. I know how difficult fundraising is, and look what you've done in a very short period of time on those foundation grants. I mean, I think that's just spectacular. So thank you. Thank you for your work. And thank you to Commissioner Moraga, who's the chair of the Strategic Planning Committee. And it's been very good guidance to be, and I'm proud to be part of that committee.
Thank you very much. And if I may, we will definitely share your comments with the 300 staff that made this possible this afternoon. Thank you.
Just two or three related but different comments. My thanks as well to Commissioner Moraga and the board committee that helped us put this together. And as I've said, not without some humor but some accuracy too. The first thing a CEO does if he or she wants to survive long is to spread the blame. And basically what this is a way to make sure that this board is scheduling and targeting and what it is we're supposed to be doing, and not just the CEO or the senior staff. And in particular, Frank, I'll point out that the cost issue is one that was this board's idea that has turned out to be giving us a very good recognition in the community, not just locally, but nationwide. And I'll remind you that I'm on a committee, national committee, that's set up by New York University, that's put together to study the whole issue of the cost of affordable housing development in high-cost areas. We had our first meeting in New York City in mid-June, just last month. And there are 15 members of this committee. I'm the only public sector person on it. And because we're where we are, I think, we are hosting the next meeting of this group here in San Diego on November the 14th and 15th. I'll make sure that we have a social event as part of that that you all are aware of and can attend if you like to. So I think that we're getting recognition for what we do nationally as well as locally. And in terms of the self-promotion, I've no hesitation at all in promoting the hell out of this organization and making sure that everybody knows what we're doing, that we're doing a good job. I think that the communications element for us, excuse me, you never think I wear my voice out, right, Steph? The key to a public sector organization being successful, I think, is making sure that it's recognized. And I think communications for us is like marketing is for the private sector. We've got to be able to show what we do in order to get public support for doing more of it. And so what we do, both the staff, making sure that our accomplishments are real and that they're substantial. And what our communications staff does under Maria's guidance and making sure that everybody knows is critical. And if there are any other efforts that we can do or events we can stage or venues we can explore that you all on the board can think of, we're willing to do it. We'd just love to hear it. And I think also a lot of the validity of a good reputation is third party. So the more that the board could get the word out yourselves and help other third party organizations spread the word about what we do, the more it helps as well. So I appreciate your guidance and your direction in putting this together. I think it is first class. And I think we will figure out a way to publicize it more. I'm thinking it should be on the agenda of the Smart Growth Committee at City Council at least. So thank you all very much.
Rick, on the cost issue, we should be screaming that at every turn. We should be talking about that at every turn because as we've talked about before, people oftentimes will criticize us not knowing all the facts and all the requirements that are placed upon us for the cost of affordable housing. And we ought to be saying that very publicly that that's not acceptable to us and that we're leading that charge to try to address this issue.
Yes, sir. We do and we are, and we will continue to do so. We squawk every chance we get over that particular issue. We also like to point out the differences in cost where we have full control of the process. Like you heard on the Nook this morning, and the civilized development fee that those good folks are putting in there, you can be sure that's going to buy them a return business with us. You can look at the cost of where we acquire property ourselves. Look at the Belden North property. We've got a new name for it now. University. I'm going to call it Belden North. Belden North that we purchased last year, 130 units at $15 million. I mean, that's as good as you can find anywhere, much less Southern California. We like to point out where we have full control, there are greater efficiencies. It's just a matter of getting that full control and where we can affect national and state laws that give us the difficulty. And in that, we're going to squawk and complain as loud and hard as we can, sir.
Part B of the city audit may be a good opportunity to impress upon them the difficulty with their agencies, you know, with their departments.
Yes, with the recent realignment with some of the workflow here at the Housing Commission, we've added a staff member who's going to help us particularly on policy-related issues and working to increase our relationship with the city and our impact on the focus on the processes that they have that interact with us. So the cost containment report is going to pick up a little bit more steam as we focus a little heavier on working more closely with the city and tacking on the McKinsey team to see if we can't make some changes there.
Madam Chair, I'll also point out that the streamlining provisions that you all approved that the city's Smart Growth Committee passed on to the full council will help too. You know, every little bit of efficiency improvements helps. Although I'll point out that this reflected an interesting conversation between me and one of the city council members this week, one who is very concerned that we decrease our cost. But when we presented to the council a way to streamline and put more decision-making back with this body, rather than going through a second step to the council, this one particular person pushed back and basically wanted more control. And I pointed out that that's the typical fallacy in government. You can make agencies more efficient. You cannot. You can let them be more efficient. That implies giving up some control, some process, and then do the monitoring. But this is an ongoing process that I think is never going to end, where we're going to be continually pushing to be more efficient, but also recognizing that there are some legitimate government issues of transparency and, more than that, controls on sources of money that will restrict us from doing always what we want to do.
So this meeting is adjourned, and I think it is 10:01.
3 minutes.
On my phone, it's 10:01.
That's very good.